Welcome to Two Dope Boys in a Podcast. I'm Phil McKenzie and flying dolo, as I am also going to be speaking on behalf of my brother in dopeness, Michael Brooks, who was unable to join us today. Nonetheless, I am here, as always, with super producer Matt Leck, who is making sure that I sound good and I stay on time, and we are here for On Point. And On Point is where we highlight someone getting it right. I'm real excited to be joined by Sydney Thomas, and she has a very interesting background. So we're just going to basically say Sydney works, and we're going to she's going to explain to us what that means. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Awesome. I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. I didn't even mention that you are a proud Blue Devil, also from Duke. If Michael was here, he'd be giving me shit for mentioning that, but he's not here. So fuck it. Go Duke all the way. So, boom, you work, and what do you work at?
I work at Precursor Ventures, and I am an investment associate and head of operations here. And so what that means, essentially, is that I'm both looking for new investments and supporting current investments and just all around trying to make sure the firm runs on the right time, the right ship, essentially what your producer is doing for you. I try and do for the firm as well.
Wow. I don't know if you're quite as talented and skilled as super producer Matt Leck. That is rare. That is rare air type of skills, you know? So if you guys are on par doing the same stuff, then you're amazing because he's amazing.
Awesome. I have so much support for the folks on the back of things because there's just so much that goes on behind the scenes that nobody ever knows. Our portfolio companies are always asking us just, how are you doing what you're doing? And once you can't let anybody see everything that's going on behind the scenes because it's too much to explain. But I have a lot of respect for those of us in the back of the scenes.
Now, obviously, the venture capital world, Silicon Valley world, the tech world, has been under more than its fair share of scrutiny. Just definitely recently, but this has been going on for like a year or two or three, where people are really focused on a couple of key issues. One being diversity or lack thereof in the tech industry, and that can mean people of color and also women. Obviously, you cover two of those categories. Tell me a little bit about how you kind of came to the industry and some of your perspectives on it, given a lot of this controversy that routinely seems to float around.
Yeah, that's a great question. I have, like you said, the unique privilege of being a Black woman. I do not wear that title lightly. And I came into it really roundabout. In that my past life, I was working in nonprofit, doing essentially what I like to tell people working at a Bloomberg startup in New York. So that's essentially what it was. We were pairing corporations, foundations, individuals to individual schools that needed their financial support. Loved it, was really concerned by how much power that the corporations, foundations, and individuals had in the public schools, and so concerned that I wanted to figure it all out on my own, decided to go to business school, where I interned at a number of different companies. I was just trying to find out and figure out all of the private sector things since it was my first entree into the world. Decided at the end of it, I was at Berkeley for business school, decided at the end of it that what excited me most was being on the venture capital side, and just hustled my way in. I wrote a cold email to Frida Kapor Klein to be a speaker at an event that I was throwing at Berkeley, the Women in Leadership Conference. She agreed, and we got to be close. She's now a mentor and sponsor of mine. And when I told her that I was interested in venture capital, she put me in touch with my now current boss, Charles Hudson. And little did I know when she was putting me in touch with him that she was actually both an investor and also just general supporter of his for many, many years. And I am eternally grateful for her sponsorship. So she's the one who got me my job.
How important is it to have that mentor? You know, because we all hear that, those kind of stories, but, you know, not everyone is going to have that sort of like hustle, like you mentioned, to get in front of someone like that. Like, how important is it to make those kind of relationships?
It is literally make or break. And I'm laughing, but only, I don't know why, because it's so true. I think that in specifically the venture community, everything runs on relationships, literally everything. You're given money because of relationships. You're given jobs because of your relationships. And very, very few of what happens here is run on meritocracy. And I think that comes back to the point that you were speaking of before, this lack of diversity. And I think we have this lack of diversity because for so many years, the only people who had those relationships with the people in the corner offices were the people who looked like the people in the corner offices. And I think it's only in the past 2 to 3 years, really, that women and people of color have been given the chance to start developing those same deep levels of rapport that others have been given for centuries.
Do you think it's possible to see like a large systemic change in an industry like this when it sounds like everything is so one-to-one? So and what I mean by that is the scale of the relationship could be really incredible, i.e. if someone can write a check for 7 figures in order to fund a Series A or Series B or something like that, then that's a phenomenal one-to-one exchange. But if you're kind of historically locked out of those relationships, is it possible to see a wholesale change if you're relying on that one-to-one relationship and you're starting from like so little? Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
I completely agree. Yeah, I think that is you have picked up on a really unique insight of the venture capital world that I think is not well known, in that essentially these VC firms are like, I like to say, little fiefdoms, where a VC has been able to raise a lot of money and decides to create essentially a company based off of the culture of the managing partner and investing in companies that usually reflect the culture of that managing partner. And so I think until we have enough VCs who understand and, I mean, deeply understand are committed to making intense investments, financial investments in diversity, we're not going to see this level of change, because I think you're totally right. It depends on every individual managing partner.
Yeah. And it seems like there's also a challenge with this idea of investing in diversity. Like, I understand why we use those terms, but really what you should be saying is that you're investing in a great opportunity. Like, how the wrapping and the packaging of that opportunity really shouldn't matter if you're making an evaluation on a business concept. But it seems like people aren't really doing that. Like, they're kind of just investing in the people that look and sound like them. Like, I don't know how anybody could make a business case for something like Jasiro. You know, like,
yeah.
How does that get millions and millions of dollars?
I think you're right. And I think that the cool thing about being where we sit in the venture landscape, we're a pre-seed firm. And so we don't even have to pretend that we're looking at dollars and numbers and cents, because where we sit, none of that exists. We're looking at companies that have a founder, a co-founder, and an idea. They don't have any revenue. They barely have any prior investment. And there's not much to go off of, except for the founders. And so I think that gives us a lot of leeway to really invest in founders who have not been given that shot before. And so our numbers are close to reflecting what America actually looks like and light years ahead of reflecting what America actually looks like compared to the industry average. And I'm really proud of that. I think that because for those who are listening and don't know, my founder is also Black and I'm Black. And so that gives us automatically an access to an entire next level of talent that I think other investment firms are ignoring and other entrepreneurs are afraid of accessing because they don't know if their investors will actually take a chance on them. So we're given that unique opportunity that we don't take lightly.
It's curious when you mentioned toward the end there that, you know, people aren't willing to take chances, you know, that they're afraid of the opportunity or what have you. And it sounds to me that these are the people that should be taking chances. Isn't that the makeup of the industry in the sense that they're talking about moonshots and going to Mars and, you know, Google's mapping the entire world? And it doesn't seem like these other issues around being more inclusive as to your investment portfolio should be that difficult. So why is there seemingly a disconnect? And I'm wary of trying to put you in a position to answer for the entirety of the VC world. That would be obviously impossible, but I think you do have a unique experience because you are sitting in it more so than our listeners would be, for example.
I think that VCs are given so much information to digest all day. Literally hundreds of emails, hundreds of phone calls. So their schedules are back to back to back. And what that requires to somebody who just is inundated with so much information that they start pattern matching in order to make sense almost of the chaos. And what that becomes is pattern matching to companies or entrepreneurs who have been successful in the past. And so you hear the tropes of the standard Stanford school dropout with a hoodie on, white guy, Mark Zuckerberg, you name it. All of these people kind of fall into that similar trope that folks are used to winning. And when you have so much information all day long and you're relying so much on so little, it's easy to go with what is comfortable because you know nobody will fire you for investing in a Mark Zuckerberg trope. Kind of like what they say to people who are hiring consultants. Nobody's going to fire you for hiring the consultant to tell you exactly what you know already. However, if you took a chance and hired somebody who was from a smaller consulting group that was also extremely reputable but didn't have the history or essentially street cred that McKinsey did, and they told you something that ended up not working out, you're automatically going to point fingers at that consulting company and that person who hired you. And so I think there's this lack of willingness to deviate from the status quo because the status quo, no one's going to get mad at you for firing the status quo, for following the status quo. And so unless people start getting more comfortable with failing on people who don't look like them, I think we're not going to see a lot of changes. And I totally agree. I think that sounds completely counterintuitive on when you're investing or talking about an industry that essentially its entire business model is failure. I mean, our stats are, especially the pre-seed VC firm, we're expected to lose out on 40 to 50% of our investments. None of those are supposed to win. Only one to two companies in our portfolio is supposed to return the entirety of the fund. And so I agree that it's completely, it literally makes no sense when you're talking through it. But that's the way it is. And so I think you need more people like Charles, more people like Arlen, more people like Monique, who are here investing in people of color and women, because unless you do, they'll never have the opportunities to win. And so you'll never have the trope that you can fall back on that looks like a woman or a person of color.
Yeah, it's even though it might be counterintuitive when compared to other industries, it makes sense. Hollywood famously does the same thing. They make the same movie over and over and over again. They're more than comfortable losing money on Transformers 4, you know, rather than losing a smaller amount on some unknown director that they never heard of. So I guess I get it from that perspective. I guess as someone who is a brander and looking at the culture of things, it seems strange because Hollywood doesn't have a brand of taking chances, really. Like, they're the opposite, right? They lie about their accounting. They put Jennifer Lawrence in every movie. Like, they're just looking actually to negate their risk. Whereas, like, Silicon Valley, I think, tries to brand themselves in the opposite way, at least for public consumption. Like, right. It's always about being daring and we're going to solve the unsolvable and we're going to make the world a better place and all of that blah, blah, blah. And it's like, are you? You know, like, is that really what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. It's weird. It's a weird industry. I'm just getting here. I've been here about a year and some change, and I can't even count to you how many conversations I've had with folks who have been here longer and shorter than me who feel the exact same way. Just kind of, wait, what's going on here? How does this work? And so one thing that I've tried to do to build a community around this and just, you know, keep my own sanity is create a women of color in VC group to talk about this stuff that isn't popular, that you might not always be able to talk about with the partners at your firm or at other firms, or it's not going to be the exciting topic at dinner or happy hour, is around just what is going on here? How can I make it better? And what can I build in the future that makes sure that none of the stuff that we've seen that goes wrong happen again? And so that has been just probably one of my favorite things of joining this community in the last year, is that I think people are finally coming around to the fact that what we're saying is not matching up with what we're doing. And so we need to change something. And that has been the most inspiring part about my job. I think Charles, when I joined, he just kind of let me run. It's like, okay, well, you're here. What do you want to do? And I got to essentially have a blank slate, a blank canvas for what I wanted to create and how I wanted to create it and what communities I wanted to build. And it's been really inspiring to get to know some amazing individuals in this industry who are just as committed as I am to shaking it up. And I think that's what we need. I think that's what venture capital, in the purest sense of the word, has always been. It's always been about people who are inspired to change things. And the more we rely on the same, the less we're staying true to our mission. So I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. And there's a lot of work to be done.
No, I mean, I think we need that kind of work to be done, because this is a industry, speaking in broad strokes, that has a outsized effect on how we all live our life. You know, the money, there's a real opportunity cost when money goes to ventures and ideas and people and it's squandered, you know, like as much as it's fun to, you know, kick the shit out of all the shitty startups that we hear about on TechCrunch and Mashable that kind of flame out, you know, that's $40 million, $30 million, $10 million that could have gone to fund something that might have actually worked, you know, that could have really had maybe done something impactful. So it's not only the financial cost, but it's also the opportunity cost of that money not going to something more worthwhile. So I think the enthusiasm and the organizations that you're a part of show perhaps a way to course correct that. I do want to talk about in a moment that we have left, the work that you're going to be doing with Pipeline Angels. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm so excited. Natalia is one of my idols, and I reached out to her when I joined VC. I'm, to be candid, not technically an accredited investor, which is a requirement to participate in Pipeline Angels. But I asked her, is there anything that you need help with? Is there anything that I can do? This is an amazing organization, and I want to be involved. And so we hopped on the phone a few times to talk through what that could look like. And we came up with this VC in residence program, which is essentially, I am almost like a consultant to the Pipeline Angels, which is a group of women who are angel investors and more like they are budding angel investors and are going through this program to learn about what angel investing looks like. So I am a consultant to them to help them understand what it actually looks like on the other side of the table. Just what does angel investing look like? What does seed investing look like? What does Series A all the way up to IPO, and just what does the ecosystem look like? And in return, I'm able to get access to this amazing network of women who are both potential mentors to me and also potential sponsors to me in my future careers. I think one of the things that I'm excited about is being a part of Precursor, where there actually is an emphasis on career growth. And so what I'm looking to do is make these connections to women who might potentially come in and invest in our fund later on. Once they are, you know, not just seasoned angel investors, but brilliant angel investors and want to diversify their wealth into the VC asset class more broadly, I can bring them on and convince them to join us at Precursor Ventures and what we're building. And so it's been a really exciting time. I joined a few weeks ago Pipeline Angels and have been to a few conferences, and I'm flying up to Seattle in a few weeks. And so I'm just having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So you're giving a curmudgeonly, grumpy, anti-capitalist guy some hope that we can do something to change this model and actually shift the finances and the resources toward organizations and people and ventures and projects that are gonna make sense and not just give me a fancy blender and call it Jusiro. So I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but all of my hopes and dreams in the VC industry are pinned on you.
I mean, I'll take it. I feel the same way about my family, so I'm used to it.
All right. Well, there it is. You're happy to take on the mantle of all of my hopes and dreams, and I have no doubt that you'll shoulder that with great skill. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your perspectives on everything technology and VC. Where can people find you? Give a shout out where people can get in contact with you and your many organizations, because you do work.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to give me a shout out. So you can find me on Twitter. I'm Sydney Page, SYDNEYPAIGE 10. You can find me on my website. I'm www.sydneypagethomas.com, where you'll find all writings and general musings about VC and tech. And you can find the organizations I'm a part of, both Precursor Ventures and Pipeline Angels, on the interwebs as well. So, too many places to find me.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you again for joining us. You're in good company because super producer Matt Leck is awesome. So then you must be awesome as well. Thank you so much for joining us on Two Dope Boys in a Podcast with our most recent On Point.
Of course. Thanks for having me.